But I'm starting to believe that this could be the start of something good.
Live from Mississippi, here's Graceland with Jennifer Meadows.
Well, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton was speaking before the South Carolina Democratic Women's Council yesterday. And her accent was so noticeable that it even caught the attention of the New York Times. Now, Hillary is an Illinois native, okay? And mysteriously, she had a heavy Southern twang. It was kind of reminiscent of Hillary back in 2007. And I'm sure you guys remember this when she was out on the campaign trail and she was actually in Selma, Alabama, in front of, a black congregation. And you'll remember what she said. She says, "I don't feel no ways tired," which she was actually quoting Dr. James Cleveland, who was a gospel singer. But thank you for listening to Graceland on WNJC 1360 and from our TK Radio Network studio. I'm Jennifer Meadows, and our guest today is Bradley Dean, who is an ordained minister, a heavy metal drummer, and a radio personality for Sons of Liberty. We're going to be discussing the problem of Sharia law in America. And Bradley will be with us in just a few minutes. Then at the bottom of the hour, political insider Charles Albert Johnson III will be here to discuss the federal judge that upheld the ruling blocking Obama's executive amnesty. So definitely want to stay tuned for that. But co-host Curtis Mang joins the program. And Curtis, what about Hillary's Southern accent? What in the hell?
Oh, it was just delightful. And it was interesting that it did get so much play in the press. But I must say, at least to my ears, she wasn't terribly convincing. She sounded a bit like Miss Piggy after one too many martinis, I think. So.
And may have had.
You're right. But I am really looking forward to her campaign stop in Baton Rouge, where we can hear her Cajun accent. I'm sure that will be quite exciting.
Now that would be good. I look forward to that. And I've never heard her Cajun accent. So very interesting.
Well, I haven't either, but I'm sure she's got one, just like she's got a Minnesotan accent and a Utah accent and and a New England accent. And, she just packs it when she travels, I think.
I think so. And my question to you, does anybody buy this garbage, you know, when she gets out on the campaign trail, and are any of these politicians that do this kind of stuff? Do you think that this wins her any votes or any accolades or anything?
They apparently think it does. It seems hard to imagine that it could. I think we recall during the 2012 campaign when Vice President Biden was speaking to a predominantly black audience, and he was criticizing the Republicans and Mitt Romney and saying how he wanted to put you all back in chains. And does it work? I can't see how it does, but if they keep doing it, maybe they think it does.
I think maybe possibly so, but I don't think it does anything, but just completely makes us feel like they are the phonies that we all know that they
mm-hmm.
are.
And
with that, Curtis, I believe our guest for this evening is on with us. And our guest, and I said this evening, for today is Bradley Dean. And Bradley, are you with us?
I am here, ma'am. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, Bradley, he is an ordained preacher. He's a heavy metal drummer. He's the host of the Sons of Liberty Radio, which can be found on Patriot Radio. He's on Genesis Communications. You can find him on TuneIn and also his website, sonsoflibertyradio.com. Now, Bradley has been featured on Fox News, MSNBC, The Weekly Standard, World Net Daily, and a number of other places as well. And Bradley, good to have you back with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much, Jennifer.
Now, today we're going to be talking about your latest article and World Net Daily. And Bradley, you're kind of offering a deal to the Muslim community, not just in Irving, Texas, but all across America. So tell us about your article in World Net Daily.
Well, basically what we're seeing is that, you know, these Muslims, they come into America and they see that things are unfit. And if they feel that it's so unfit, I suggest that we buy them a ticket, a one-way ticket, to their Muslim nation of choice and make sure they can go back to where they came from, because this is America and that's why they came here. And of course the article is revolving around Texas Mayor Beth Van Dyne, who basically stood up and said, I'm not going to be bullied. And she did the simplest thing that she could have possibly done concerning Sharia law. And she said, no, I'm following the rule of law here. And she encouraged the individuals who were attempting to bully her to embrace the laws of our Constitution. And, of course, that would only make sense in America, right? But
exactly.
According to the Muslims, they want to overthrow American law. As a matter of fact, one of them even said, Jennifer, he said, if we are practicing Muslims, we are above the law of the land. Mustafa Carroll said that. Well, he needs to remember that we're in America, and we're not going to allow him or anybody else to come into the United States of America and desecrate the sacrifice of those that bled, fought and died in many cases to ratify the Constitution of the United States. So we're not, you know, asking these people for permission to accommodate them at every step of the way. We're standing up and we're magnifying the laws of our constitutional republic against, you know, anybody that wants to come here and attempt to establish foreign law.
Exactly. And now real quickly, recap, because I know this happened several months ago. It was back in, I think, February and March, most of this was going on. And with so much going on with this administration, give us a quick rundown. Remind us of what was going on with Sharia law, Irving, Texas, just to help us. Since then, we've had Baltimore. We've had so many problems and big issues. So to recap real quickly what was going on there in Texas.
Well, what they were attempting to do there is establish the first Islamic Sharia court inside the United States. And what they were doing is they were basically operating it without the approval of the state in the first place. And then what they did is they basically wanted to come back around the fact that they were already practicing Sharia law in Irving, Texas, and to basically solidify it lawfully. Why they did that, I have no idea. Nothing they do seems to follow the rule of law in countries outside of theirs. And basically what they found is that the mayor was not going to budge. And, you know, Van Dyne, she stood her ground and she said, we're not moving and we're not giving way to you. And what they found is, aside from the illegal activities that were taking place, behind the attempted formation of Sharia court lawfully, it was discovered that all four of the voluntary Sharia lawyers were not licensed to practice law in Texas, and might I add, in America. Folks, that's
wow.
A third-degree felony. So that's what we're dealing with in Texas right now, and of course we're dealing with it, because what they're doing is they're emulating the dictator wannabe in the White House, who's not ruled by law. So that's what we're up against in the United States right now.
So now quickly define, because I know we talk so much about Sharia law, okay? But I want you to define for us very quickly, and then I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Curtis Meng. What exactly is Sharia law? Because, you know, we discuss it all the time, but what is it?
Well, Sharia law is Muslim law. It really, what it comes down to, it counters our law at every step of the way. They want to establish their form of government, a foreign government in the United States of America. So Sharia law, to me, regardless of what it's defined or not, it's lawless. It's unlawful. It's unconstitutional. Therefore, null and void. And if it's null and void, I could care less. It's for any other group or demographic that wants to come in here and attempt to overthrow the laws that we have established. I don't care what their definition is as to who they are, and I'm not saying that to be smart in the mouth or cocky or arrogant. I'm just simply saying that I'm here to lay the axe to the root of the tree, and that's exactly what the mayor did in Irvine, Texas. So concerning Sharia law, that's what exactly it is an attempt to establish foreign law in the United States of America.
Hey, and we're with you on that for certain.
Amen.
But But today, our guest is Bradley Dean, who's an ordained preacher. He's a heavy metal drummer, host of the Sons of Liberty Radio. Bradley has been featured on Fox News, MSNBC, The Weekly Standard, WorldNet Daily, and a whole lot of other places as well. And Bradley, I know you know my co-host, Curtis Mang. And Curtis, you know, I still feel like most Americans are really not aware of the problems that are being created by allowing so many Muslims to immigrate into the country.
Well, that's a very good point. And I think, you know, the statement allowing Muslims to immigrate in the country in and of itself is not necessarily bad. But I think, you know, as Bradley certainly points out in his article, and Bradley, as you indicated when you first came on the show today, is that, you know, when they come here and then try to establish their own rules and their own laws, as they attempted here in Irving, Texas, that opens up a whole new ball game. And so, Bradley, my question to you is, you know, given the state of the country right now, you know, are we witnessing attempts at creeping Sharia law? Meaning, are there going to be other attempts elsewhere? You know, for example, I think a couple of years ago we had Dearborn, Michigan, which I think is something like 40% a Muslim, enacted some form of Sharia law there. So, you know, what do you know about what may be going on elsewhere, or now or in the future?
Well, according to Brigitte Gabrielle, she's the representative for Act for America, and we can also go over to Pamela Geller, who's also a contributor on sonsoflibertymedia.com here. Daily, Pamela Geller is awakening the eyes of the American people as to how they are slowly besieging, to the best of their abilities, to implement Sharia law in the United States of America. Brigitte Gabrielle actually stated that there was 47 attempts in courts across the United States attempting to implement Sharia law. And I don't think it's, you know, to kind of just take it a different direction a little bit, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody due to the fact of what we see coming out of the White House today, due to the fact that he's entertaining America's sworn enemies. If it's not the Muslim Brotherhood, then we got CARE, the CARE organization. I live about 20 minutes away from St. Cloud, Minnesota. We have a small population there. We're starting to see this pop its head up all over the place. And really what we need to do is know who we are. And see, this is happening today because, again, my friend, people don't know what the Constitution is. I mean, if you really think about the pith and the marrow and the heart of what's going on in this country, these people are coming into our country thinking that they have free reign to go ahead and do whatever they want because they see the President of the United States doing it. And I want the American people to understand, to bring it right to the heart, that when you go to Arlington Cemetery and you see what those boys and those girls that are 6 feet under the ground, what they fought, bled, and died for, in many cases, they fought the very ideologies that America is tolerating through this administration today. They fought, bled, and died fighting against this, and America needs to realize that that's exactly what's going on here, that someone had to pay the price, and they paid the price. I mean, I was just at Arlington Cemetery not too long ago, guys, and I was there a year ago. We have a couple friends there. Their sons are buried there from Afghanistan and Extortion 17. And last year, we found Aaron's grave right away. Had no problem finding it. Well, this year, we had a problem because it was 18 rows of new graves from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Wow.
Just
wow.
Within 1 year because of fighting these supposed Muslims. Mm. And it was probably about 3 football fields in length, those 18 rows were, just so you can get a visual. But again, going back to that, guys, we need to understand that, you know, I wrote the article on the basis of that we have somebody that actually stood up against it that did not bow, and it just happened to be a woman, and I see this all across the country. But it's starting to get under my skin now. It's really starting to bother me. Now, it's okay, and Curtis and Jennifer, it's okay that they come here. They're afforded asylum here, but they follow the rules that we follow. We're ruled by one law. Not, you know, 14 different laws. We're not ruled by the Chinese. We're not ruled by the Russians. We're not, you know, we're ruled by American law here. And these people need to understand it. And I say this, too. If their God was God, then what are they doing in America? And if you see some of the countries that these people have come from, they come from nothing. And why would they want to come into America, where it's the land of milk and honey, and try to change that? And I right. think what happens in the process is, and again, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here, I think what happens in the process, this is why they become Americanized, because they begin to understand that America is different. And I also say, even to the Christian church, due to the fact that I'm a preacher, that we have a great opportunity to right now to actually win these people over to Christ in the process. So I knew I threw about four different things in there in that process, but I just had to throw them in there because I thought it was that important.
And we appreciate that. So, you know, feel free to go wherever you want on these questions. So I do have a follow-up question, though, and it goes to your article a bit. And that is, you know, when the left wants to shut down an alternative viewpoint when discussions of race come up, they always throw the word racist around. And we see much of the same thing with over any criticism, even mild criticism, directed towards Islam. You know, those who criticize Islam are called Islamophobes. And I wonder if you could speak to that and the reaction to those pushing this Islamic Sharia court in Irving and how they reacted when they got some pushback.
Well, what happened is, now keep in mind, guys, I'm from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And we have the first radical Muslim appointed to Congress here in the state of Minnesota. As a matter of fact, after he won, Keith Ellison won his district, which is a small population of Muslims in northeast Minneapolis. It was said, it was actually reported by the FBI that they were screaming up and down the halls of the state capitol in Minnesota, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. And so most people don't know that. But what's interesting, and I want people to see the correlation here, because as a matter of fact, I've noticed quite a bit of this, and I've seen this for a long time now, but it's interesting that you're seeing the Muslims stand right behind the methodologies of the radical homosexuals every step of the way. You have the homosexuals decrying victim, while you're starting to see the Muslims decry victim. You're seeing the radical homosexuals call it bigotry and homophobia. Well, now you're starting to see the radical Muslims using the same verbiage, the same vernacular, same talking points, same methodology, totalitarianism. They hold the shield, they have the spear. We're beginning to see that. As a matter of fact, even going back to what you just brought forth, Kurt, concerning you know, the methods that they're using after, you know, the anti-Sharia bill was passed in Irvine, Texas, they were decrying Islamophobia. Mm-hmm. They were decrying the fact that they were being zeroed in on. They were being victimized. They were being targeted. As a matter of fact, one of the quotes was that there was a further attempt to solidify Islamophobia. And then we even had one of the Muslims out there that actually stood up and said that the elephant in the room was the bill was anti-Sharia bill. Well, let's go back to Minnesota now. So you see the methodology is very similar with the radical homosexuals. And by the way, if you did not know this, the radical homosexuals are being used as a political battering ram to upend your sovereignty to give way to Sharia law. And that explains why Barack Hussein Obama's been using and appointing radical homosexuals and transvestites to governmental positions in the United States of America. That's another conversation, but that's another hour conversation. And to bring further correlation, I have a post on my Facebook this morning, and we have two radical homosexuals walking down the streets, and it says on their little signs they're holding, gays and Muslims unite to fight against all hate. And really what it comes down to is, what are they the victims of? And I'm speaking about both parties now. They're victims of the law. They don't want to be ruled by law. They're at war with the God of the Mosaic Institution, common law, which we have in the United States of America. And further solidify the things that I'm seeing here, going back to Keith Ellison again, he's a radical Muslim. I mean, the guy attacks me at every turn he's gotten. He won't get on my radio show. And to be quite honest with you guys, I wouldn't either if I was him. But the bottom line is the head of the LGBT communities. Keith Ellison is the head of the LGBT communities. He's the chairperson. Now, I don't know if it's just me or not, but wasn't it the Muslims, we have video on this, where the Muslims in Washington, D.C. were rallying, calling for the execution of the homosexuals?
So,
you know, again, we could go down that road for hours, but what's going on with the Muslims, I see it step by step, systematically following line upon line, precept upon precept, as to what the homosexuals are doing.
Well, and it's a strange alliance, the Muslims with the gay community, because you see what happens in the Middle East. I mean, these are the very folks that they're tossing off of buildings and doing all kind of heinous acts to them in the Middle East. So how in the hell does this, you know, these two groups come together, first of all? But a good point that you made, too, there is you see the unifying of the left with Islam to kind of upend the rule of law here in the United States. So I think that's a point that everybody needs to understand. It's not that we're trying to bash Muslims. It's the fact that they really see themselves as above the law. So when they come in, you know, they're not planning on, you know, following the Constitution. Actually, they see themselves as above the Constitution. So that's a real problem.
Well, I did want to add, too, John Adams, just to solidify this point. John Adams was the one that said that our Constitution is made for a moral and a religious people under the umbrella of the Christian faith. He said it's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And I also want to keep in mind, too, for all the listeners, that it's not us bashing on the Muslims and it's not us bashing on the gays. It's about them bashing anybody that doesn't agree with their dangerous ideologies. Because this isn't about attacking any particular people. This is about protecting a people that don't know the difference. I do high school assemblies and colleges, so that's really what I'm highlighting more than anything, is the fact that that's who I'm fighting for right now. I want them to understand what's going on, because at length, those are the ones that are being targeted right now, is our young people, our posterity, because they're attempting to indoctrinate them every step of the way concerning both homosexual agenda and the Muslim agenda across America right now. And the Muslims are just trying to get their foot in the door, and I don't believe they have it yet, but I do believe that if the American people would wake up to what's going on, they'd shut them both down, and that's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing today.
Well, today our guest is Bradley Dean. He's an ordained preacher, a heavy metal drummer, and the host of the Sons of Liberty Radio. You can find him out on Patriot Radio, Genesis Communications, TuneIn, and also on his website, sonsoflibertyradio.com. And Bradley, you know, so here's a question. I don't know if, you know, we have an answer, but I think we could, you know, kind of stab around at this. But why is our government allowing so many Muslims to immigrate into the country? You know, it's not an accident. You know, we keep hearing about this. I know I had a guy on my show, it's been a few weeks back, talking about all these secret immigration programs, and they're bringing them into 190 seed communities. Why is our government doing this?
Well, okay, now let's go back to this again. I am a preacher, first and foremost, and I'm putting myself there on purpose because we do need to understand that the Lord said a long time ago, you can see Moses on all your Capitol buildings throughout the United States of America. You can see him on your money. You can see him, the Christian crosses above the heads of our veterans, our fallen. I can go on and on with landmarks, our Christian heritage all the way through and through. People need to understand that it was also that God that said, I will rejoice over you to do you good. But he said, if you refuse to hearken unto my laws, listen carefully to my laws, my judgments, my statutes, or my ordinances, I will also rejoice over you to do what? I'll bring judgment upon that nation. And when you look at Leviticus 26, to a T, the very first thing he said is, I will appoint terror. And then he said, I will appoint those that hate you to rule over you. And then when you go to Deuteronomy, and it goes on and on and on and on in stages of judgment. And then when you look over at Deuteronomy 28, there's 15 blessings and there's 55 curses. Well, read the curses. If anybody wants to know where America is today, you can see exactly where we're at today. America, the 315 million people, are tolerating less than 1.7% of the population to dare the justice of God. And God is not going to leave himself without witness. And that's one of the things that the Lord said that he would do, that a foreign nation would come out against you. They'll show no mercy. You'll be besieged. That means a slow takeover. It's happening to a T. And it's interesting, even the bad guys that are allowing this to happen, they think that they're having their way, when in fact, when you look in Scripture, you'll find that Nebuchadnezzar was a tool in the hand of God. to bring forth chastisements and judgments upon a disobedient nation. When you look at America, now I don't know where you go on your show all the time, but every day of the week I find myself correcting the professed church and correcting corrupt governments. And we have corrupt government because of a hypocritical, compromised church. There's just no getting around it. Because the church is called to be the moral compass of society. But in going back to what you're saying right now, it fits judgment to a T. And it's really a scary place to be right now, especially when you have kids and you're looking out for your brothers and your sisters in this country, because it is happening right in front of our face. But how do you, and I'm serious when I ask this question, how do you feel for a people that care more about a bunch of grown men fighting over a pig ball with tights on in the thousands filling arenas? They care more about the football game or the baseball game or the hockey game than they do their freedoms. Now,
that's
just
right.
Think if the American people really understood the price paid for their freedoms, do you think they would be spending their time on things that don't matter? Or do you think that they would actually be taking the time to know who they are, where they come from, and where they are going, and also educating their children? No, I see across the boards, and I see this on a daily basis, I don't see any reason why America is where it's at today outside of the fact that they are tolerating corruption at every given turn concerning this administration. And I, for one, am sick and tired of it. We just did an article on sonsoflibertymedia.com, our senior editor, Tim Brown. There's over 1,063 documented transgressions of this administration. Now, if you go back to the 1800s, you'll find that Andrew Johnson, after violating the Constitution by appointing an individual to the Secretary of War without asking Congress, which is us, for permission, they wanted to impeach him for that. And it came very close to that happening. Why are we tolerating? So you can't complain about what you tolerate, and how do you feel sorry for a people who don't themselves care about what's going on? Because conservatives, for the most part, they're talking about the problems. But let's be honest about it, Jennifer. Where are the people that are selflessly bringing up the cross, except the young people that are willing to go fight a war, constitutional or unconstitutional, it matters not. They're upholding their oath. If the American people want to complain about our kids going to war, that is unconstitutional or unconstitutional, then you know what? We need to take responsibility because we allowed Congress to send them in the first place. I don't get it.
Well, and you're right, because government is representative of the people. They are reflective of America. So this just shows how far down the road we have come. And Curtis, I'm going to turn it over to you for a question, and then I'm going to ask the last question. And we appreciate you being with us, Bradley.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Well, Bradley, one needn't be a Christian to be able to acknowledge that the United States was founded on a core set of principles based on the Judeo-Christian values. And I think to do otherwise is to deny history. And we saw not too long ago where Barack Obama stated, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, that Islam is woven into the fabric of our nation's culture. Well, yeah. There have always been Muslims in America, prior to and after the founding of the United States. But to say they've had a major impact on the country, either culturally or politically, I think is like talking about how the great impact of the Guatemalans have made on the National Basketball Association. So, it seems to me that they're trying to make up history as they go along, and I think that's disturbing because so many Americans don't know history and they take that at face value.
They do. And you know what, Kurt? You're smarter than I am on the topic of Sharia, so maybe I should be asking you questions. But and I say that respectfully, too, my friend. Going back to what you're just saying right there, I mean, what has this administration done uprightly? What has it done to establish righteousness? I have a friend. His name is Kevin Schiff. He's a former CIA agent. He said the whole objective of this administration is to upend our Christian heritage and upend the Constitution. That's why he's appointing all these debased reprobates to governmental power in this country. But going back to what you just said, also keep in mind he was in France not too long ago. And do you remember rightly when he said, because the man doesn't know how to tell the truth, read Isaiah 5. He puts light for darkness, darkness for light, bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter, good for evil, evil for good. I mean, they do it constantly. The man doesn't know how to tell the truth. There's no truth in him. But he was in France not too long ago, Curtis, and he actually reported in France that America's got one of the biggest populations, Muslim populations in the world. Well, we did a little homework and found out there's less than 4.5 million Muslims in America. So, you know, people, and that's what's scary, is people taking any administration for face value rather than knowing their founding documents and the facts. And they don't do it. And again, there, I just revert back to this again. How can you feel sorry for a people that could care less themselves? And what people are prioritizing right now isn't what matters right now. But I do see a grassroots swell happening across the country. I do have to say that. And I'm glad, and I stand by everybody that's willing to fight, stand up and fight for what we have, because I believe that we still have the freedom to do the right things. And we need to call this administration for what it is. And if I can bring resolve, Curtis, it's let's impeach this guy, let's indict him. He needs to be charged along with his administration, because that's the message the American people need to stand up and give, because we need to keep in mind that it's inscripted on the Supreme Court building right under Moses and the Ten Commandments, right above the heads of the Supreme Court justices. Justice is the guardian of liberty. We need justice, and America needs to quit tolerating crime in this administration or in any of our representatives, because, like I said, I, for one, I am tired of it. I want a future and a hope, and if God did it for our forefathers, I believe he'll do it for us too.
And you know, what we tolerate will continue. And Bradley, I love having you on the program, but we are out of time. So thanks for being with us, and please tell our listeners where they can go to find your radio show.
Brand new website just put up, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. It intertwines with sonsoflibertymedia.com as well. Jennifer's actually a contributor over there. And Curtis, I'd love to talk to you too, because it sounds like you got your stuff together, and I really appreciate both of you guys. I really do.
Thank you, Bradley.
All right. Well, thanks, Bradley, for being with us. Please come back anytime. Take care. God bless.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was Bradley Dean, who is, hold on just a minute, I kind of lost my place here just talking there. He is an ordained preacher, a heavy metal drummer, and host of the Sons of Liberty Radio. You can find him out on Patriot Radio, Genesis Communications, TuneIn, and his website, sonsoflibertyradio.com as well. And, this is Jennifer Meadows with Curtis Mang, and you are listening to Graceland here on WNJC 1360. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the presidential candidate. It's hard to believe he's a presidential candidate, but he is. Bernie Sanders wants to bring in a 90% tax rate. Sounds like a wonderful idea, actually. Possibly making that part of his platform. And we will also be talking to political insider Charles Albert Johnson III joins the program. Don't go away. We'll be back after this message.
Community Digital News, built by the writers and editors that deliver the news 24 hours a day. Visit comdiginews.com. That's comdiginews.com. And support the next evolution in news.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
Look, I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Well, thanks for listening to the program. This is Graceland on WNJC 1360. I'm Jennifer Meadows with my co-host Curtis Mang, and wanted to take a minute to thank our new affiliate, the Leading Edge Network, and we are certainly glad to have them on board. And we are awaiting political insider Charles Albert Johnson III. But, you know, Curtis, Bernie Sanders, hard to believe, first of all, that he is a presidential candidate, you know, as if that weren't amazing enough, I guess. As a self-proclaimed socialist, thinks that 90% tax rate is a great idea. So explain this to us, Curtis. Why could this, how in any universe could this possibly be a good idea?
Only in the universe between Bernie Sanders' ears, apparently. You know, because nothing says productivity, hard work, and innovation quite like a 90% tax rate. You know, I think when anybody goes to work and think, okay, you know, I'm making $250 today, and they know that they get to walk home with $25. You know, that's not really much of an incentive to even show up. And so eventually people stop showing up and expect the government to hand stuff to them. But eventually you run out of producers. And I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, that, you know, even Keith Richards and the Rolling Stones in the early 70s figured out that a 90% tax rate in Great Britain was a bad idea, and so they moved to France. Mm-hmm. Now, and what happened there is that
not quite
as bad, but at least Great Britain got no tax benefit out of the Rolling Stones once they left the country.
That is funny. Well, and I believe the other co-host of the show is with us, Charles Albert Johnson III. Are you with us?
Yes, I am, Jennifer. Curtis, how you doing? Glad to be back on Graceland.
Awesome. Now, we are talking about presidential candidate. You know, Charles, it's hard enough to believe that Bernie Sanders is a presidential candidate, first of all. But explain.
Bernie Sanders is a socialist.
Yeah, exactly. But explain to us, and that's what Curtis was just talking about, how in the world could there possibly be any benefit to a 90% tax rate? So I just asked Curtis about this, but how is there any benefit to this at all?
Well, look, Bernie wants to go back to the days when rich people regretted being rich because they had to give up so much of their money in taxes. Bernie wants to go back to the glory years before Reagan, back when the top tax rate was well above 70% when you added all the taxes, all the taxation together. Look, we just can't do that. It's unsustainable. It's bad for business. It's bad for expansion of the economy. And eventually, and as Curtis alluded to earlier, people are going to vote with their feet. They're going to get up and leave. And you're going to be left with a tax burden that cannot be sustained by people who don't make the money to sustain it.
Exactly. And I know he did an interview, I believe it was with CSNBC's John Harwood, and he told Harwood, you know, just talking about his presidential shot, he really feels like he's got a pretty damn good shot to make president. So I don't know what he's smoking. I'm not sure what he's drinking, but I'm not certain he's got any shot, you know, at all. But you know, in this interview, Sander was saying, he says, if my memory is correct, he said, when radical socialist Dwight D. Eisenhower was president, he says the highest marginal tax rate was something like 90%. Now, Harwood came back to him. Harwood came back to him, and he says, when you think about 90%, he says, you don't think that's obviously a little too high? And then Sanders comes back. He says, no. That's not 90% of your income, you know. He says, that's marginal. I'm sure you have some really crazy right-wing nut job types, but I'm sure that every very wealthy person feels that it's the worst thing in the world, that they'd be more than happy to pay a little extra. He says, I've made a whole lot of money. I don't want to see kids go hungry in America. So, yeah, he says, I will pay my fair share. So, this is the thing. Know, and I'm going to ask you, Curtis and Charles, will America think this is a grand idea, this whole 90%? And let's start with Curtis, and then I'm going to get back to you, Charles.
The 90% tax won't be a winner for anybody. Because, again, for the simple fact that people want to keep what they earn. And, you know, it's interesting that this is just kind of a carry forward of what Barack Obama said recently when he was talking about the wealthy, and he referred to them as society's lottery winners. And I think, you know, although Bill Gates tends to be quite the leftist, I think would take objection to or exception to being called a lottery winner, given that he's created quite a bit and changed a lot in the world and made a lot of money because of that. But it wasn't because he stopped at a convenience store and put $2 on a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the problem with the Barack Obamas of the world and the Bernie Sanders of the world, is they think that people just wake up one day and they've got a barrel full of money and they need to give it away, instead of realizing that people work hard. Now, I would also say this, and that is that I don't believe there is anything that people can't make payments to the government over and above what their tax liability is. If someone wants to donate to the federal government will be glad to have it. But I see very few people, certainly many on the left, who decry people not paying their fair share, are the ones that aren't paying their fair share in the fact that they won't even pay their own tax bill.
Right. And I'm not thinking, Charles, I can't imagine anybody who's actually making a living right now that thinks that a 90% tax rate is a good idea. So I don't think America's going to buy this. What do you think, Charles?
Listen, you've got some liberals out there that want to give it all away. I frankly don't have a problem with that. The problem with the left is they want everybody to suffer mediocrity. I say this to the Bernie Sanders of the world. There's a line at the end of your tax form that allows you to name your amount. You can put your whole fortune on there if you want to. Uncle Sam will take the cash. Sure. Put your money where your mouth is. Stop trying to throw your perverted sense of morality on me and on every other American. Lead by example. But they won't do it. They won't do it. They will not lead by example. Why? Because the whole argument is superfluous. The whole argument is just a bunch of hogwash. It's a smokescreen to cloud the fact that they're trying to remake society. There's no benevolence here. There's no goodwill here, because if there were, they would lead by example. They would fill out their tax form. They would put millions of their money on that line at the end of the tax form. They won't do it. They will not lead by example on this. They just want to put their sense of perverted morality off on everyone else. I'm not having it.
Well, and I love how they love to just demonize success and wealth, you know, oh, yeah. So we could all be equally miserable, equally poor. And I know there was a really funny article out on the Free Beacon where Bernie Sanders, and we're about to switch topics here, but Bernie Sanders was condemning the existence of 23 different deodorant brands.
Yeah.
While children go
yeah,
hungry. And I mean, what in the hell was he thinking here? He says I got to give it to him, you know. He says, let me see if I can find this quote here. It says, Bernie Sanders, he says, laments the idea that Americans can choose between 23 underarm spray deodorants as children go hungry under President Obama's economy. Now, Curtis, is it the fault of the 23 underarm deodorants that people are going hungry? Or, you know, is it really a Barack Obama's policies?
I think it may be a little more, to quote Marie Harf from the State Department, it may be a little more nuanced than that. you know, if the thing that always astounds me with the left is when they say, well, there's too many of this or too many of that. Well, if there's too many deodorants, that suggests that Bernie Sanders knows exactly how many deodorants there should be. And I suspect, if Bernie knows, he's not telling us yet. And perhaps he just wants everyone in America to smell like Bernie.
Yeah, there
Which,
you go.
Yeah,
because
he stinks.
I mean, look, liberals don't acknowledge the fact that Americans are different. The reason, Bernie Sanders, that there are 23 different kinds of deodorant is because people have different pH balances. They have different odors. They have different hygiene issues that they have to deal with. I can tell you right now, if I put on Sure, I'm going to be unsure. I got to use that for men. Okay?
Hey, I'm quoting you on that one.
Dial for men. I need a powerful deodorant. Bernie Sanders wants me to stink.
Yes. So, okay, now we're about to move into a more serious topic, but I'm going to end this discussion by simply saying, you know, because what he's all about is socialism, income redistribution. Do you think this is finally beginning to get a foothold here in America? You know, with all the help from media and others on the left. So, Curtis, you know, I'll let you take that question.
Well, and I think I would probably refer to a column that Michelle Malkin wrote a couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, talking about Bernie Sanders and his 90% tax and his 23 deodorants that he thinks is too many. And that is, you know, refer to Venezuela and the abundance of empty shelves that exist in the stores in Venezuela. You know, that's what you're going to get. If you think 23 deodorants are too many, well, zero is probably not enough. But that's what they have in Venezuela. They have a lot of zero of many, many items.
Exactly. Well, and I certainly hope not. But here's my concern. And this was something we were talking about in our first half hour with Bradley Dean. I'm really concerned about these generations that are coming up, those that are in college and below, you know, the younger people are being taught these socialistic, ideals. And I think that, you know, they're beginning to get the sense about demonizing America. And, you know, I believe with younger generations, it is beginning to kind of get a foothold with people our age, you know, in their mid 30s and 40s and 50s. I think maybe not, but definitely something to be concerned about. Now, moving into our next topic, a big story this week about amnesty. There was a Fifth Circuit judge that has upheld this injunction against executive amnesty. And I believe Curtis has got the story on this. So Curtis, give us a little background on this story.
Sure. Well, real quickly, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals refused to lift a temporary hold on President Obama's executive amnesty that would have allowed 5 million or more immigrants to withstand any chance of deportation. So it's not a final ruling on the merits of the challenge to executive amnesty,
But as Ed Morrissey wrote in his Hot Air column article yesterday, it's a good indication of where the courts may end up on the question. Now, interestingly, I think that the Justice Department lawyers sought to stay the appeal of the injunction. They argued that keeping the temporary hold interfered with, and I love this, interfered with Homeland Security's ability to protect the U.S. and secure our nation's borders. Now, one thing we know is that Homeland Security is doing a rotten job of doing both. And so that I fail to see how this this ruling does anything to deter Homeland Security from doing the already lousy job that they're doing.
Exactly. And Charles, what I would like you to do is kind of tell us or give us your analysis of where you feel this is headed. You know, like Curtis just said, this is not, you know, a final decision. So where do you see this going from here?
Listen, I don't think we've lost yet. There's still a Supreme Court that is not totally given over to the liberal agenda. Certainly not as liberal as FDR's court when he was served all those terms and he was able to stack the court in his favor. That's how the New Deal and all these other, well, what I call the raw deal, but how we got all this stuff, because at first it was struck down. But then eventually it was, you know, passed. It was approved because of that. So I think since Obama doesn't have more than two terms, thank God,
exactly.
You know, I think there's a chance we can stem the tide here. The judiciary is going to stand up to him. The Republicans have taken over the Senate, so the Republican Congress is going to stand up to him. And eventually he'll be out of there. If we get a Republican president in after Obama, we can actually reverse a lot of this stuff. I'm very hopeful about this issue. I don't think most Americans, when you break it down to them in a nuts and bolts kind of way, look, the more of them that come in here illegally, the less of these jobs you're going to have when they're made legal. And that makes sense to a lot of people. I've been able to talk to a lot of my family members from that perspective. I have family members that work construction jobs. They're complaining all the time about how they get a contract and then the company wants to go elsewhere with the contract because you got these folks down here, you know, picking up the illegals down on the street corner, and they come do the job for a fraction of the price, being underbid in the marketplace. I think that makes sense to a lot of people. The Republicans can capitalize on that, get a lot of more people on board. I'm very hopeful for the direction of this thing. I think we can come out on top of that one.
I certainly hope so. And Curtis, you know, I think what may happen, 5-4 vote against amnesty. But what do you see, Curtis, coming from this?
I think that's probably true. I think Obama wants to get it to the Supreme Court as soon as he can, as soon as you know, the administration can get it there. And a 5-4 decision is quite likely. I think you've got a few on the court, the Supreme Court, that think it's a great idea,
the wise Latina woman.
absolutely. But I certainly agree with Charles. I think you know, it's promising, given that you know, two courts have looked at this and found that there is no merit to what the administration has done so far.
Well, guys, we only have just a couple of minutes. I was really hoping to get into this Jose Ramos fusion and you know, Ann Coulter in her new book with Adios America. Very interesting, because it came out during this interview that you know, Ramos didn't see a problem with just basically allowing the entirety of Mexico to just dump into America. No problem with that, you know. So I would have liked to have been able to get into that. But, you know, real quickly, if we've got just and we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, about this whole thing about diversity, that's what they were discussing, Ann Coulter and Jose Ramos. So, yeah. You know, diversity, a good thing, bad thing. Very quickly, Charles.
Well, of course, Jose Ramos doesn't have a problem with it, because he favors the direction that such an infiltration of the country, for lack of a better word, would do to the dynamics of America. People that want America to change drastically, they want this. They don't care about preserving borders, language, and culture. And a culture is a shared history among citizens. That's why we make immigrants take tests, citizenship tests that most Americans these days couldn't even pass, but we make them take it to get legal citizenship. There's a reason why that's in place. We are in danger of losing borders, losing language, and losing culture. When you lose borders, language, and culture, you don't have your country anymore. You have, quote-unquote, something else.
That's
and
right.
That something else is spooky.
And the transformation of America, very quickly, 30 seconds, actually, you know, if you can do it very quickly. Diversity, good thing, bad thing, Curtis?
Well, I would say diversity in and of itself is neither good nor bad. It just is. The problem arises when those who choose to put diversity on a pedestal above all else. And that, I think, is when the problems arise.
All right. Well, yes. Guys, we are out of time. Appreciate you listening to the program, everyone, and special thanks to Bradley Dean for being with us. Now, Charles, please tell our listeners where they can go to find you.
Yes, Charles A. Johnson III on Facebook and the social media. That's where you can find me. Also on the Graceland website, we're on there. You'll find clips of the shows.
There you go. And Curtis, you as well.
I've got a website, mangwrites.com, and I've got my books available there. You can also find me at jennifermeadowsgraceland.com. Books and shows and articles are there. And I am at Curtis Mang on Twitter.
And you can find me on Twitter. That's JM Graceland. Also find me on Facebook at Graceland with Jennifer Meadows. Archives of this show are on TK Radio Network and also on comdiginews.com. Thank you for listening. Philadelphia, take care. God bless. And until next time, have a great weekend.